The number one marketing strategy you need in today's business climate is networking. Word of mouth and referral marketing is the most powerful way to grow your business. But for many, just the idea of networking causes anxiety, frustration, and perhaps a little fear. The Once Timid Networker radio show will get you through these networking challenges by providing tips, suggestions, and real-life success stories of other business professionals who got out of their own way and learned to love networking. Now, here's your host, the original Once Timid Networker, Tara Schmeichel.
Well, welcome, friends. Networking friends, I should say. This is an exciting moment. I started actively networking to grow my business about 7 years ago. I knew it was the best way for me to grow my business, but I have to say I was very nervous. No matter how much I would try to psych myself up and prepare, when it came time to actually network, I was a bundle of nerves. My heart felt like it was pounding out of my chest. My palms were sweating, my vision blurred, and my voice quivered. All of the things that I had prepared and knew so well suddenly were all mixed up, and I didn't know where to start and where to end. The only thing that I was effective with was really making the room cringe when it was my turn to talk. Since then, I've really received so much help. I've had some fabulous mentors, and I decided to watch and study others who I knew were effective networkers. I learned so much, and I want to give back. This show is about networking effectively and the stories to prove that it works. I'm your host, Tara Schmeichel. I am the Once Timid Networker, and this is my show. My mission is to provide a place to learn for other networkers and to hear their story, and I'm thrilled for this venue on the Next Stage Business radio station. And today, my guest is Pamela Muldoon. Welcome, Pamela.
Hi, Tara. Thank you so much. I feel very honored and extremely special to be your inaugural guest on the Once Timid Networker radio show. Thanks for having me.
Well, I am honored to have you here. I have to tell all of the listeners here, and Pamela, I don't even know if you know this, but the first time that I met Pamela, I was the Once Timid Networker, or I was the Timid Networker, I should say. And so I've known her for quite some time, and Pamela is actually one of the people that I wanted to know how she did it, because through the years, I've watched Pamela from the first time I met her till now, and I continue to watch her and see what it is that she's done that has made her so successful. So, Pamela, would you first start by telling us what your business is?
Absolutely, absolutely. And Tara, it's kind of fun and creepy to know that you've been watching me. I appreciate that.
No problem.
and I'm excited to talk about, I guess, in a way, it's our journey today as well. But yes, my business is Next Stage Media Group is the name, umbrella name of my overall business. And I actually have a couple of different things I'm doing under that, Tara. Next Stage Business is the business and marketing coaching side where I work with small business owners like yourself or like many of the folks listening today, really develop more consistency and more leverage in their marketing from not only a business coaching perspective, but a solid marketing perspective. And I just get really jazzed about helping folks do that. The other side of my business is actually the platform we're talking on today, which is the Next Stage Business Radio Network. And the Once Timid Networker radio show is one of four current programs on the network. We'll be launching number five here in the next couple of weeks. I'm very excited about that. And I, too, have a passion for giving back and of service and to provide a platform for great resources and information for the small business community, one of which I can say from the bottom of my heart is this show here. I'm so excited to have the Once Timid Radio Show, Once Timid Networker Radio Show as a part of our network because I think it's a topic that we need to talk about that is very relevant and prevalent in today's business climate, and you're bringing a great service not only to the community but to our station. So we're excited to be partnering with you, Tara, as well.
Well, thank you, Pamela. I appreciate that. I think that from the things that the experience that I've had, networking seems to be one of those things that people tend to get better with or better at with time. And sometimes a person can go in thinking that they're doing it in a very efficient or effective way, and yet sometimes it's just not doing it. So my goal with this show is to really be able to help people be able to be efficient as well as effective with the networking efforts that they're going after. So now I know that in the conversations that we've had that you are an extrovert, and we've had conversations about introvert, extrovert, and I know that networking is something that you really enjoy. Could you kind of start with how you started your business? Because this
Absolutely.
Has been kind of going on. Okay, cool. Thank you.
Yeah. We're actually year number five. I mean, what is it they say? The fifth year is kind of a milestone because only so many businesses make it this far. So I'm excited to say that this summer I'm going to be celebrating the fifth year anniversary of my own business, which is really exciting for me. But you're absolutely right. I am a very open extrovert, and if anyone comes in, you know, within a 5-minute radius of me, they can probably tell that. I'm a talker. I'm not afraid to put myself out there. And
no.
That can be very positive. I know. So my once timid friend here, it's interesting that you and I have, we have a lot in common, actually, but one of the things that makes us an interesting I guess blend is the introvert extrovert sides of how we approach things, yet we still come to the same conclusion that it's, you know, it's just a wonderful way to meet friends and business is to network. And for me, being an extrovert, I actually get a very full bucket when I'm in front of more people. And so just being aware of that, I think as I started my business, was very important to me, understanding that networking or building a network. So even before I started my business in 2006, it was actually August of 2006, I had worked in roles inside of organizations, very large companies, corporate companies, as a trainer and, you know, a marketing professional. And so I did a lot of speaking or presentations, or I worked in front of people pretty much all my adult life. I mean, this has been something I've been very comfortable doing. So it was a very natural transition, Tara, actually, as I started my business to think, well, of course one must network. You must get out and talk to people to meet them, right? So the idea of doing that when I launched my business in 2006 was a very natural progression. But as you mentioned, we get better at this, right? So I can honestly tell you I am still as much a student as I am a teacher, and probably more so a student. I think sometimes, what is it, the best teachers are truly the best students. Constantly
Absolutely.
Learning from other people and other individuals. And, you know, I look back over the 5 years, and I am proud of how my network has not only grown and built the amazing, wonderful people that are in it, but it's just really a strategy that's never done. And I think that's something that we all need to embrace as business owners as well. It's just never really done. We have
Absolutely.
To continually work on it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Pamela, when I met you all those years ago, were you doing the next stage business, or were you doing another job?
I actually launched a business coaching franchise in 2006. That's how I launched my business from a corporate person to an actual small business owner. So I actually embraced a franchise concept first, which was a great learning tool for me. It was fantastic. I not only met so many great, wonderful people and learned a ton, but it was great to be able to, I like to say that I was naive enough to just throw my business card around town, right? Hey, you know, I'm in business.
Well, it worked because I saw you everywhere.
Well, it's kind of funny. I joke often, and I do mean this with all sincerity, sometimes being naive is the best thing in the world, because you are going to put yourself in positions, if you overthink it, you don't do it, right? And I'm grateful sometimes to be the one, I'll do it, why not? And so I did that. I was actually a franchise owner of a business coaching practice for a year and a half, and transitioned into the next stage business as I transitioned my model in 2008. And we can actually talk a little bit, too, about how that all came about, because, you know, it's the story that I have to share today is one of, you know, it's personal success as well as business success, and I can connect my dots so directly to the idea of my business network truly being a saving grace, truly, yeah.
Well, okay, and that's part of, you know, the model for this show is, you know, so that we can hear people's stories. We may not all have the same story, but we can also relate. And one of the things that I've really appreciated about you, Pamela, and one of the things that really drew me to you after knowing you all of this time, hearing your story is actually what really drew me to you and made me want to know more of what was, you know, more about you and how you did what you did. Because, you know, you can give me we can tell each other the story of here's what I did, you know, step one, step two, step three, step four, but that's not necessarily going to give you the human factor. And so, yeah, let's hear your networking story, if you will.
Absolutely. I tend to be a fairly open book, and it's, I think, part of that authentic engagement of what marketing is today. But, you know, when you asked me to participate in this process with you, it's interesting, you know, you call your show the Once Timid, you know, networker, but really it is about those success stories, and we each have a different way that we approach success. When I launched my business in 2006, I always knew that networking was important, but it was actually through a series of events that were beyond my control that really, it made me understand on a really deep level the importance of not only networking, which really becomes just simply a word, but truly having this amazing connection of other individuals who are just simply there, whether it's there to build business, to support you, and sometimes the people in the room don't even know they're doing that, but they are because they're just who they are. And in 2006, like I said, I started my business, and if anyone out there has started a business, you know that first year, first year or two, if you can get past those, my goodness, it's excellent because you're building. You are literally building. And I had come from a corporate environment, Tara, so I really was not only learning how to do my business, I was learning how to be a business owner and what that meant. And, of course, all of the moving parts that we navigate every single day as business owners. And within 6 months of starting my business, there was a personal family tragedy that took place in my family in February of 2007, actually. And I won't go into great detail because that could be a whole other show. Maybe there's a therapy show we could do later. I don't know. But got to have a little sense of humor. But it was a strong enough tragedy that really not only rocked my family to the core, it really changed how I spent my time, my energy, and my money. It really forced me to pull back and take care in an immediate situation, my children, my husband, and what that all entailed. Now, I'm in the service business, Tara, so it's really a challenge. It's not like I'm out there selling widgets, and I just want you to buy this widget no matter what bad day I'm having, okay? If I'm having a bad day and I'm not really feeling connected to you as a business owner, I'm probably not going to do well selling or prospecting or building. It's just not going to be real positive in terms of that. And and I say that 6 months into my business because those first 6 months are just when you're getting your feet wet. And literally overnight, because of a family tragedy where I had to really, there was some travel involved, there were legal ramifications involved, I had to stop actively building my business and focus on my family. And that took, we didn't know how long it would take at the time, but it was something that really took me away from my business for a good 12 months. The one thing
Pamela,
I never stopped. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, just one quick question. When that happened, did you ever feel like saying, you know what, it's too much, I just don't want to do this anymore? Did you have that kind of a feeling, or did it spur you on to a greater capacity?
I would be lying if I said I wasn't going to quit. You know, I kind of joke even today in my business, I quit every 6 months. The only difference is I start over the next day. I think a lot of small business owners can relate to that. Right? We have our moments. Let's face it. Absolutely. Without a doubt. I mean, 6 months into my business, this huge event happens in our family, and it was, you know, a violent event, and it was extremely emotional and affected just the core of our family on such a level that I'm like, what am I doing? How can I build a business and take care of this family? When I had a job, at least I had, you know, this consistent money coming in. I had, you know, all those things that come with having a job. And absolutely, I think that the saving grace of that from that perspective, though, is I got so engaged in what my family needed that I didn't have time to really have a personal pity party for too long. It was, you know, we moms, we kind of lock and load, right?
Yeah.
We take care of things, right?
yep.
But eventually, that's absolutely. We got to take care. We're the you know, the caregivers for the most part, and so we are there to take care of things and to kind of pick things up and be strong for others. And that was a big role that I played. But on the flip side to that, as I navigated through that 12 months of what is it I want to be when I grow up again, I realized that it was also because of this tragic event that happened that I had a choice. I truly had a choice. Absolutely. And that choice was, and we wake up every day making choices, right? I mean, every day is a choice. Yeah. Getting out of bed is a choice. And believe me, there were days during that year where that was even a tough choice, okay? I mean,
yeah,
it is,
I can imagine.
We are making choices every single day. And I realized sometimes you need something to rock you to your core to really ask that tough question. What is it you really want to do? If today was the last day, or if money was not an object in your that was necessary, what would you do? And to really dive into those questions, that is the one gift, one of many gifts that came out of a very difficult experience, was really asking myself some of those tough questions and realizing I not only need to do this, it's something I have to do. It's kind of the whole Marianne Williams, you know, philosophy of this, who are we to play small, right? And
yeah, right.
I really embrace that. And so it's kind of that whole philosophy of out of darkness comes this ray of light. And I really believe that my success that I'm having today and where I'm building and really finding my voice today is in direct proportion to having gone to a very low point of some really tough times and to be able to come out of that. But you know what? I didn't do it alone. I never did it alone. And I think that is so key and a big part of what, you know, I want to share with our audience today as well.
So how did you get through this? What was it that helped you to overcome? Because I know that you made the decision, the conscientious, you know, choice to move forward. What was it that helped you?
You know, it was a couple of really key things on the business perspective. I will say, first and foremost, I have the most supportive, you know, husband in the world. So a shout out to Stephen Benowitz, my spouse. He's just extremely supportive and has a huge piece of faith in me. I mean, this person has a lot of faith in what I do and believes in me. There is nothing better than knowing that there's someone close in your life that believes in you. Sometimes they believe in you more than you do, right?
I've met Stephen. And I've met Stephen, and when he's standing with you, you can see that he's very proud of you and that he is. He's behind you 100%, and that makes a huge difference. So kudos to Stephen.
Yes. I'll make sure he listens to this. I know he won't be able to listen live working today, but I'll get him to listen to the download, and he'll appreciate it. This will give me some brownie points for a while. But for me, it's my spouse. For all of you out there listening, hopefully it's somebody, whether it's a sister, a mother, a father, just another person. And that was always, you know, very key. I knew I had the support system at home. The second piece that really became important, going back to me being an extrovert, and I really don't think I embraced this as much as I've just understood it on a whole different core level, this idea that when I am out in a public setting, whether I'm doing a presentation or at a networking event with another 100 people, that is a bucket filler for me. I actually get re-energized, right, by getting in front of people and by being a part of a social experience, where if you're an introvert, your bucket gets filled probably back at the office. You get, you know, doing alone time, you know, kind of recollecting your thoughts and then getting the strength to go back out there, right? And for
Absolutely.
Me, it's a very much, yeah. And so the reason that's important to this conversation, Tara, is I may not have been timid in the sense of going out to connect with people, but I honestly didn't realize until I was doing it how much I needed it, if I stayed home for 3 or 4 days and tried to work through business things when I have a heavy cloud, it's just going to get a little heavier. By actually going out to continue to attend networking events, connect with people, do one-on-ones, that actually became something for me to focus on other than what was going on in the day-to-day situation that was not so fun. And so that was kind of the first, you know, positive that I really realized this networking stuff is more than just meeting people. It's like healing me, you know.
Yeah.
It was really healing me. And the other piece of that was that, of course, I made these amazing business friends. And as I became more comfortable with them and vice versa, I would open up and share my story and what was really happening with my family and some of the things and challenges we were dealing with. And it just opened up a whole new world and a space for me to take in other people's challenges. I became a space for other people to also share. And it just felt extremely rewarding, as well as, wow, we're in this together. You know, each one of us is battling some kind of war, you know, whatever it may be. To be open. I think part of the openness, and everyone has their own level of openness, right? But to be open allowed, for me to be open allowed other people to say, this is a safe space for me to share something too. And it bonds you and connects you in a way beyond business, if that makes sense.
Right. Well, and I know that you're a fan of Keith Ferrazzi, which we'll talk about later on, but that totally reminds me of his whole Who's Got Your Back, because one of the things that I've heard him say is that when you are able to share those things, then you actually have people that will have your back. And if you don't share those things, they don't know to have your back. And so by sharing, you know, what you are going through, I can see that it would be something that would really be helpful to you in providing you a nice support system.
You know, and it was interesting because I would get down on myself about, gosh, I'm not growing my business. I'm doing this networking, but what am I doing? What am I doing? And yet I'd come home from a networking event or time spent with my business friends, and I felt better. I just felt better. And so I learned to really embrace that for me, being with other people was extremely empowering and healing. But eventually you got to come out of the fog, right? Put your big girl pants back on and say, okay, now what am I going to do? And that really that started to happen in end of 2007, 2008, so early 2008. I started to have some really strong questions of myself of, okay, what is it I really want to do and what is it I really want to be? And that's when I started choosing to transition from the franchise model to my own voice. And so, again, the gift that this tragic event happened in 2007 gave to me personally was life is short, so what is my voice and what is it that I can share with the world, help and serve, as, you know, follow Marianne Williams' guideline of who am I to hold back my gifts because I'm just cheating the world. What is that and where can I start to go from here? And networking has just been such an A-1 part of that on so many levels. It's just profound to me what it's really done. Mm-hmm. It literally changed my business in 2008. Now, and I don't mean just changed it from a business building. I literally changed my business model because of it.
Well, now, I'd like to hear about that because I know you told me in the past that there were people who were kind of telling you that maybe you should do something else besides networking. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. So many folks have great intentions, right? And the industrial model of sales has so much to do with still the law of large numbers, which, you know, I teach a lot of marketing stuff. So I still believe, obviously, if you have so many numbers, you're going to make some conversion, and I get that. But there's one thing I'm just not comfortable doing, and that's cold calling, right? I don't care how much of an expert I am. I can't pick up a call. I cannot do it. And I know why. And, Tara, I know why, because I'm a Minnesota farm girl, and you don't call people. You don't bother people, you know. You don't do that. You can't just call somebody and bother them.
Oh, gosh, no. Heaven.
So I realized that a lot of the development advice I was getting from a couple of my mentors was not congruent to how I felt, and I was really struggling. And I was feeling like a failure, like I wasn't reaching the numbers because I was trying to do what they were asking me to do, but I wasn't doing it successfully, so therefore I didn't get the numbers, and then I failed. And it was really a tough time on top of this other family stuff. But then along came this wonderful gentleman He's actually, his name is Michael Lejeune. Got to give out a shout out to Michael Lejeune. He was my business coach back in 2007 into 2008. And he and I are actually doing a radio show now on the Next Stage Business Radio Network. We stayed very engaged with each other's lives. I just adore him because he really, he asked me one day, I'll never forget it, but he said, okay, Pamela, what is the one marketing strategy you really want to do that you're not doing? And I said, it's networking. I feel like I want to be doing more networking, but I keep getting guided to not doing as much. And I'm supposed to be doing this cold calling, or I should be doing this direct mail campaign. But my heart keeps saying, well, what if I just went to another networking event and converted from there or built more relationships that way? And he said something to me, and this is what's important about a coaching process, Tara, and I know you've had, you know, you've got coaching in your business, and if you're listening, folks, I don't care if it's me or somebody else, find someone who you trust, know, like, trust, and respect, and get some coaching, because it's amazing how simple questions can change your life. But he basically gave me permission, Tara. Right? He said, okay, Pamela, if that's what you want to do, the next 90 days, you're going to go ahead and set your benchmarks and do them, and let's see what happens. And I have never looked back, absolutely never looked back. It totally changed my business, and it changed as I built my relationships. It's just, it was truly much more where my sweet spot was for doing marketing, absolutely. So what I did after that was, after we moved further into 2008, what I decided to do was actually change my business model and realize that relationship marketing was something that I really was connected to and wanted to be doing more on a regular basis. So I literally changed up my business model in the summer of 2008. Next Stage Business became a marketing and coaching company for basically teaching folks how to network smarter, how to network more strategically, how to build solid networks. And it's just been a phenomenal experience for me.
I would like to know what kind of support you had, because I know that was something that we talked about.
In 2008, that when I actually left the franchise and started my business model with Next Stage Business. And I think what was really important there was the support that I got from my business coach, Michael, who gave me permission to really put a strategic plan in place around networking. Not only the ability to put that plan in place, we can talk a little bit about what I do with that and how I help my clients, but I literally developed a whole relationship marketing set of training, workshops, coaching. So now I am literally the last almost 3 years have been helping business owners and independent professionals get out of their own way and really treat marketing, or I'm sorry, networking as the number one strategy in their marketing toolkit, but to do it smart, do it strategic, and to do it as an authentic person, which is extremely powerful.
Absolutely. So can you tell me a little bit more about that? I mean, are you talking to people in private groups or in one-to-one, or how are you doing that, Pamela?
I do it in all sorts of ways. You know, folks can, like, already twice this week as we're talking, I've had the great pleasure of speaking in front of two different groups here in the Twin Cities on networking. Specifically, one was today on targeting your ideal client. I've also do presentations on social media networking, how to build a strategic relationship with folks on the World Wide Web. So I do it from, you know, that perspective, from chamber events to associations to speaking around the country, as well as when I get a chance, obviously that becomes a big part of the marketing plan that I do with all of my clients, is building out a strategic plan around their networking and how they're going, you know, who their target market is, what they want to accomplish with networking, getting them in the right room. My goal for myself and my clients is to make sure that at minimum 80% of the time you're in the right room, talking to the right people, and having the right stuff come out of your mouth, saying the right thing.
Because I think that you're exactly spot on with that, because so many people think, oh, networking, that means I need to go to every event and every, you know, organization, and I need to meet as many people as I possibly can, and I need to pass out as many business cards as I can. Not only that, but I need to bring as many business cards as I can, you know, take as many as I can. And, you know, I think that's kind of an old school way of looking at networking. And what you've done, Pamela, is been able to help people be more strategic, just like you said, so that they're not just, you know, swinging at the air, so to speak, and hoping to have good results. You're showing them how to have the exact results that they're looking for.
Well, and it really I found that most folks are doing exactly, or had been doing, at least in my early experience, exactly what you're referring to, Tara, is I've got this, you know, handful of business cards. I'm going to go out to this event. I'm just going to throw them all across the room and hope somebody calls me. And I realized that, you know, here's the deal. When it comes to sales marketing, but let's just talk sales, you know, the whole idea of a transaction. One of the questions I ask folks, either in a seminar or one-to-one, is whether it's an internet sale, a proposal, a service contract, a business-to-consumer interaction, say, you know, buying a widget, whatever it is, or maybe a telephone call, there is one common denominator, one common element connected to each and every one of those transactions. And on the other side of that transaction is another person. And that gets lost so many times. And sometimes we're so focused on the working part of networking that we're not actually building the net. You know, we're not actually building the relationship piece, right?
Exactly.
And so I make sure all my clients start with target market. You have to have a target market laid out. And that's with any marketing. But I found it fascinating that so many folks were not putting that same type of energy around networking. They were just simply getting in the car, driving to the event, running around the room, going home, and then not following up. And then saying this networking stuff doesn't work. And how can you say it doesn't work? We're talking to people. People buy stuff. You
know? Right. Well, and, And so often when a person is starting to network, they think, well, everyone can use my service. I'm looking for everyone.
Yeah.
And by really refining their goal and looking for a certain target, then they're actually doing a much better service to themselves, but also their networking suddenly becomes much more efficient. And we think that it's, you know, narrowing it down too much to be specific, but it really expands so much when you do it that way. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Absolutely, absolutely. Because here's the deal. When you say yes to one thing, you say no to another. And we have a challenge of we want to say yes to everything. And because we might be revenue strapped or, you know, dealing with cash flow issues. And so we let that fear drive some of our activity to the point of doing nothing or not having success. And so by getting very strategic, so for example, if I know that my target market in my business and marketing coaching practice is business owners of 1 to 30 employees, that is my core sweet spot, then I need to focus on where I can find those people and, more importantly, where I can find strategic partners that are also connected to that same market. And that allows me to now start to really pick where I spend my time. And that's just half the battle, is getting yourself in the right room. So the flip side to that, Tara, is let's say you're someone, you're a service consultant or a vendor that wants to work with businesses of, say, 200 to 500 employees, so larger organizations. Well, then I'm going to start seeking out where can I find the vice presidents or the CEOs of those organizations. They attend public policy events. I know one of our local chambers here in Minneapolis, St. Paul, does a legislative breakfast every second Friday. That's where they're sitting, okay? So you need to know who you're going after so you can figure out what room they're in. Now, this isn't always easy, guys. This isn't, where do I find them? You might have to do a little research, you know. And again, that's what's great about the social.
Oh, heaven forbid that we should have to work.
I know.
Absolutely.
But that's where, you know, doing things like, you know, learning, getting connected with folks on LinkedIn or doing some intel can be extremely powerful for you to figure out where your target market is hanging out or where the strategic partners are that are also going after that same market. So you can collaborate together, maybe offer up some suggestions on where to find those people together. It's about using efforts, you know, two are stronger than one kind of philosophy.
Right.
So strategic. It is extremely powerful. And now it's not about he or she who goes home with the most business cards at the end of the day wins. It's about walking out the door with 2, 3, 4, 5 cards that feel very strong to you. They feel strong from a strategic standpoint. And now your challenge, my friends, is to follow up within 24 to 48 hours and make sure you do that. Do not let those cards sit by your laptop or computer. Don't do it. Don't.
Yeah.
Stop. Stop.
Is that kind of a little hot button for you, Pamela?
Yes. Just a little bit, Tara. Just, I'm a little passionate about that. Well, here's the deal. I could never understand, and I'm right there with you guys. I have to do this in my business too, okay? So it's not like, I'm not letting myself off the hook here. This is work. It is work. But I do have a system, and there's a whole conversation we could chat on systems, and maybe that's going to be something in one of my other shows. Who knows? But yeah, absolutely.
Only if I can be on it.
Yeah, you're a systems person after my own heart. I think that we just became fast friends because we believe in systems. But
absolutely.
Yes, absolutely. I never understood, and we've all been guilty of it, but I never understood why we run around, we throw all these cards next to our computer, and then we let them sit there in a stack. And here's one of my challenges to everybody out there that's networking and struggling with this is here's a little tip. Here's an action tip you can implement today. Let's say that you have a networking event today from 1 to 3, or what, you know, we'll just throw it out there. From 1 to 3, you have a networking event. I want you to put on your calendar either tonight when you get home, tomorrow during the morning, during the afternoon, somewhere within a 24 to 48-hour time frame, I want you to put on your calendar follow-up. And I want you to treat the follow-up just as important as you did getting yourself to that event. Because it's where the follow-up is where the magic is. That's where you get to set your one-on-ones. That's where you get to actually start engaging. And it takes 7 to 10 touches now, folks, for us to really feel engaged with a brand or a person. And so that is my challenge to you, and I believe it's an actionable item. If you start treating it for the importance that it really is, you will start doing it. If it's on your calendar, you'll be more apt to do that. And so that's one of the items I have all my clients start to do is treating their follow-up just as important as going to the event.
Absolutely. I really appreciate that. You have that was something that you mentioned to me one time, and I don't remember if it was at an event that I attended, you know, that you were speaking at or what, but I thought, what a great idea, because so often a person does come back and they, like you said, put those business cards on their desk or they put them in an envelope to get to later or whatever, but really, what a poor use of time if they've just spent, you know, 2 or 3 or more hours, you know, at a networking event or a networking function, really going through the motions of trying to get all those cards or to make those relationships happen. And what a waste of time to not then do what you wanted to do with them. You may as well have not even attended at all, you know. So
right.
I think
I'm so there with
great.
You, Tara. Seriously. And I'm a tough love kind of gal. I mean, like, well, then don't go. If you're not going to do it, don't go. I don't even want to see you at the event, you know. And my poor clients are like, why? You got to treat the follow-up as important. You know, I'm actually sitting here. I did 2 presentations. It just so happens that while we're talking today, Tara, in the last 24-plus hours, I've done 2 speaking events in front of my target market. And I have literally sitting here, I kid you not, probably 30 cards. And it is, what do you think my job is after we're done today?
I can only imagine.
Yeah. And I mean, this is kind of an off week for me. It's not like this happens every week where I, you know, get 30 cards. But when I, you know, I do a lot of presentations, and the presentations, I get the cards in the room, that kind of thing. So I need to do this just like you do. And I've got my system of my CRM tool to my LinkedIn to my, you know, different processes that I do to make sure that I'm touching folks, I'm reaching back out to them, I'm thanking them for their time, I'm reengaging, and then I'm also choosing which ones I want to actually meet one-on-one with or have that next meaningful conversation for possible conversion, right? I mean, that's
right.
A big part of why we do network. Even though, for me, networking was a big, you know, it really, it seems like strong words, but I felt like it saved my life in a lot of ways, my business life at least, during the time that we were challenged with our family stuff. It brought me into this space of really appreciating the business community. We have an amazing business community. It is like the most phenomenal people in the world.
Yes, we
and to not follow up with them, I think it's just an injustice. We have to follow up and take care of each other because it's this small business community that is truly the economic backbone and will pull us out of this recession and all the challenges that we've experienced in the past few years. I truly believe that.
I agree with you. I agree completely. And you know, like you said, too, following up like that is what's going to take it to the next level. And if we want to be a good networker, whether we're timid or maybe we're seasoned, we still are looking for results in our networking efforts. And if we can be able to keep going and be able to, you know, continue on and make it worth our while, and it's going to make a huge difference, just like you said, not just in our own businesses, but within the community for sure. So,
absolutely.
Let me ask you this, Pamela. Is there anything that has had a great, or you know, like, what has had the greatest impact, I guess, on your networking efforts? Just from someone else, you know, listening in, what might they think if they could take one thing from you that helped you and apply that to themselves as well? What would that be?
For me, I think for something applicable, one of the things that I really have learned is, you know, we are challenged, extremely challenged with this idea of doing an elevator pitch or the 30 or 60 second elevator pitch, right? And I this has come from a couple of different mentors, but I've really taken the words elevator pitch out of my personal language as well as language I use when I do training or work with my clients, because I think if I'm in this mode of selling, I just don't feel as comfortable. I'm not as authentic. I can't be me. And it's so important to be yourself when you're out networking, because we want to, you know, we're buying you more than we're buying the product or service initially, right? So
absolutely.
I think that was a big tip that I received, you know, early on as I was going through this journey, was you're not selling, you're just simply being who you are, which is extremely important. So don't call it an elevator pitch. If you're really challenged with that and you don't like those words, here's the deal. If you don't like the words, change them. Change them. So I call them, a lot of times where it's like, well, I say it because that's what everybody, change them. I call it a business introduction now. It just feels more friendly to me. So that was one little piece that I really mentally gravitated. And then the other piece to that was really diving deep into the problem solution. What is the problem that my target market is experiencing, and what is the solution I can provide? And I personally believe that most problems fall into three buckets, one being money. We either have, you know, don't have enough of it, we need more of it. Sometimes maybe we got an inheritance, so we have too much of it. We got to hide it, you know, whatever the case is, right? So there's a money issue. A lot of our problems are around time. I don't have time to do that social media stuff. Tells me you don't have a system, okay? I have a solution for that. I can help you with that. I can help you with your time issue around marketing. And then there's the people issue. I don't have anybody to do that, or I have somebody, but I need he or she trained. Or, you know, if you really think about it, most of what you provide to your target market falls into that money, time, or people problem solution. And I really try to think that way whenever I pull together what I call my business introduction, where I'm helping or I work with someone. I'm working with business owners who need more consistency and more leverage in their marketing, because I know that they're challenged with time and they're challenged with people. So leverage is extremely important to them, if that makes sense. So it's really about breaking it down to layman's terms and getting your own industry language out of the conversation.
I like that, because oftentimes when you begin networking, or if you're new to networking, you might look at the terminology and feel like it's another language. And that can sometimes hinder you if you don't feel like you're speaking the same language as someone else. Obviously, if you're taking it literally, it can hinder you with your progress. But it can also hinder you if you're doing it in a business way. And so, I love your idea of taking it and making your own words and creating your own language, which resonates with you personally, because then that authenticity comes back. And like you said, you know, we're selling ourselves. And, you know, unfortunately, that's the way that it is. We can think our product is the best thing in the whole wide world, but if we don't have, and it might be, but if we don't have those people skills, we can, you know, totally miss the boat and, you know, really, you know, cut our nose off to spite our face, so to speak. So I really like that idea, and I think that's a great tip. Thank you very, very, very much.
Absolutely.
So one other thing in our conversation that we were talking about, and you mentioned this, and I think, you know, we kind of talked about the one tip, you know, that we just talked about before, but there's also, you know, kind of a bridging the gap. And I know that you had mentioned a book by Keith Ferrazzi, and I mentioned before that he is one of my favorites. I've heard him speak in person, and I have to say that it was life-altering. And the book that you said that really impressed you was The Never Eat Alone. Can you tell me what it was about that book that you really enjoyed?
I adore Mr. Ferrazzi. So, Keith, if you're listening, shout out to you. Absolutely adore Keith. You know, his book, Never Eat Alone, was extremely validating for me. I not only took away tons of little tips, like, oh, my gosh, big aha moments throughout that whole book. But it also was validating because, you know, going back to my story of 2008, Tara, I was really challenged with going with my instincts versus what I was being, guided to, right? Like, oh, you've got to do this numbers game and all that. But my heart, my instinct was telling me, well, what if I just want to meet more people. So people are people. There are things that connect us, you know. And of course, one of the things that Keith talks about is the social element of food, you know, getting people together around a meal or, you know, just, and we've chatted about that. We both love our food.
Yeah.
So, of course,
yeah.
It's a connector. And, you know, just all these human experiences and that you really are always networking no matter where you are. But as long as you take the word networking out of the equation, it's just simply getting to know people and following up and then continuing to stay engaged. I mean, it's really a very simple process, but it does take a little time and energy and intention to do this. And so Keith's book, Never Eat Alone, not only just a great story from his own personal story coming from, you know, working class family and building into, you know, his own successful business and being a consultant and just all the wonderful things he did through the power of networking. But his tips were just so spot on. And guess what, guys? This is something you and I could be doing every single day. This is not, we don't have to purchase a big tool for it. We don't have to go out and spend money for it. It's just literally being a little more intentional and a little more, putting our heart into the process, which I thought was very empowering. So I highly recommend Keith's book, Never Eat Alone. It's seriously one of the best books around building relationships I've ever read, ever. And I read a lot. So.
Yes, you do. And I've got it sitting here in front of me. And so for those of you who haven't seen it, it is a great, well, not great big, but it's a bright orange book. And it's lovely, Never Eat Alone, and Other Secrets to Success, One Relationship at a Time. And I found that interesting that was the book that you selected because, you know, networking all comes back to relationships. If we don't have the relationships, our networking efforts truly, you know, are just not as effective as they could be. So, Pamela, thank you so much for all of the time that you've given us today and even with our technical difficulties. One of the things that I like to do when I do have a meeting with someone and I'm networking is to ask them how I can help them and ask, you know, specifically what's a good referral. So how could we as listeners help you, Pamela? What's a good referral for you?
Well, you are so kind, and being that I'm usually the one, you know, giving the referrals, it always catches me a little bit when people ask me. It's like, oh, wait a minute. Yeah, I guess I have a business too, right? And, you know, it's really, I'm so passionate about our Next Stage Business Radio project. It is such a passion project, not only for me, but for my hosts like yourself, Tara, and a good friend of ours, Jim Baer, is also a host on one of our shows, You Can Get Hired, as well as just all the wonderful advisors I have on the advisor show. My referral request is that we tell the world of these amazing shows that are happening here on the Next Stage Business Radio Network and spread the word, spread the link, spread the fan page, really get it out there to our small business community of this great content that is sitting out here waiting to be heard because it's powerful, and I work with such talented people. So that would be my referral request today, Tara, is let's get Next Stage Business Radio out there, nextstagebusinessradio.com, or live streamed here on Blog Talk Radio as well, where we archive. I would love to get more business owners in tune with what we're doing.
Well, and I've listened for quite some time, and I think that it is very valuable, and you just never know, just when you think, oh, there's nothing that could help me, there's something else, you pull another topic up or you start a new show, and it's really, really been advantageous for me personally to be able to listen to it. So thank you for allowing us the opportunity to be able to help you. That's kind of our show today, and I really wanted to thank our listeners for taking the time out of your busy schedule to listen in on our conversation. I hope that you found it a good use of your time. And whatever reason you're networking, we hope that your story, the story that we heard today from Pamela, has armed you with a testimonial for networking. Maybe you've picked up some added skills and tips that will help you bridge the gap and make your networking efforts more successful for you. Hopefully you'll be able to leverage the things that you've heard today. As a once timid networker, I owe the success that I have had to the networking that I've done, the people that I've met, and the skills that I've learned from observing others. And yes, some of you listening here today have been a catalyst, and for that I am truly grateful. Please tune into our show again for budding to blossoming networking stories on the Once Timid Networker radio show.